From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Syria has completed the first stage of its troop redeployment in Lebanon, pulling out its army and intelligence agents back to the eastern part of the country. Yesterday, the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan demanded that Syria withdraw all its remaining forces before Lebanese parliamentary elections due to be held in May. We'll hear from the UN Special Envoy for Syria and Lebanon in just a few minutes, but first to Damascus, where dissidents and human rights activists are calling the anticipated pullout a colossal failure for the government of President Bashar al-Assad. And as NPR's Ivan Watson reports, some are now fearful of a government crackdown.
It has been almost 30 years since Syrian troops entered Lebanon to quell the civil conflict there. Syria quickly won Arab backing for its troop deployment, but now the international community is demanding that Syria pull out. Syrian officials argue that has been their plan all along. George Jabour is a deputy in parliament and a member of Syria's ruling Ba'ath Party. He disputes those who say a withdrawal from Lebanon will mark a setback for the Damascus government.
Because this withdrawal is not considered a defeat. President Assad was clear in his speech before the parliament when he said that they have discharged honorably their mission, which is the unification of Lebanon. They succeeded in this.
Not so, says a handful of outspoken Syrian critics, including Ammar Abdelhamid, an activist currently banned by the government from traveling out of the country.
It's now withdrawn under very humiliating conditions. This is a severe blow to the prestige of the regime, to the prestige of its leaders, and there will be serious consequences internally.
Some analysts in the region believe the Syrian government made a major miscalculation last September when it used its influence to extend the term of its close ally, Lebanese President Emil Lahoud. Reinhard Linders of the International Crisis Group says this was part of a clumsy campaign by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to consolidate his control over the governments in both Damascus and Beirut.
So he has now basically traded strengthening his own position in the regime for increasing external pressures by the international community and by the Lebanese.
For years, Syria used its presence in Lebanon to extend its influence in the region, especially in the confrontation with Israel. Syria could now lose this strategic asset, as well as its lucrative financial ties to Lebanon, as a result of international pressure and the month-long series of anti-Syrian street protests in Beirut. These rallies offered inspiration to some dissidents in Syria itself. Faisal Badr, a member of one of Syria's Kurdish parties, thinks now is the time to organize protests and sit-ins.
Everything is collapsing around the Syrian government, so I think this is the good chance for us to work and do our best to seize the opportunity.
But activist Ammar Abdelhamid says the Syrian opposition is far too weak to mount large-scale street protests.
A velvet revolution is not going to happen in Syria. You are not going to see any group out there capable of putting more than 200 people in a demonstration to oppose a certain government policy.
In fact, Abdelhamid says the televised images of the anti-Syrian demonstrators in Beirut may have strengthened domestic support for Assad's regime. At this tea shop in Damascus' central bazaar, locals said they were insulted by the Lebanese protesters. I think the Lebanese are ungrateful, says this medical student named Ali. We sent troops in there to help the Lebanese, he added, when they were killing each other during the civil war. Some Syrian activists and Western diplomats say the international pressure on the Syrian government could lead to a crackdown on internal dissent. Ilyas Murad, editor of the newspaper of the ruling Ba'ath Party, warned that external pressures would slow down domestic reform here.
Because at that time you would be concentrating on how to save your country from all the threats going on.
When he inherited the presidency from his father, Bashar al-Assad gave dissidents a bit more freedom to speak their mind. But opposition leaders and Western diplomats agree that 5 years later, Assad's promise to make broad, democratic, and economic reforms remains largely unfulfilled. Ivan Watson, NPR News.